Well, verse 4, Jacob buries the idols. Now, it probably would have been better if he destroyed them, but at least he got rid of them. I told you chapter 35 is an interesting chapter. There are actually four burials in this chapter. We're only going to look at two of them tonight or mention to them. The first one is you get these idols buried at Shechem. Next week, maybe we'll come back to this. But just make note of it for now. Burial number one is the burial of the idols at Shechem. Notice verse 5. As they begin to move away, the Bible tells us that God puts a great terror on the people. And this is what the sages call a hidden miracle, meaning nobody actually saw it, but the effect was very, very evident. This is not the last time God is going to strike the enemies of Israel with an irrational fear as a means of protecting Israel. And the sages suggest that really all it took was God sowing one little thought into the mind of the surrounding cities. It only took two of the brothers to wipe out an entire city. What would 11 of them do? And just, you know how fear is. Fear is a false emotion appearing real. Satan controls us with it, just sows a seed of one thought, and what do? We start looping on it. And I think that's what God did to the surrounding cities. He just dropped this one little thought, and their minds just started running with it. And pretty soon, they have an irrational fear, irrational in the sense that they far outnumbered the sons of Jacob. From a logical standpoint, they should have mustered their forces and gone and taken care of them, but they didn't. And the sages call this a hidden miracle. And only in the kingdom, hopefully, we will be allowed to look back and discover how many hidden miracles God did for us on our journey. Sometimes you'll discover them as you go. Sometimes you'll have moments in your life where years down the road, you'll find out something was going on spiritually that it was having an impact on you that you didn't even know about. A grandmother that kept praying. A Sunday school teacher that kept praying. Something, and you'll find out, oh my goodness, God was doing something all along. Well, let's continue. Verses 6 through 8. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him, and he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak. It was named Alon Bahut. Verse 6 says, Luz is Bethel. This isn't the first time we've come across this. We actually came across it in chapter 28. And I've got to be real honest with you. This gets a bit confusing, okay? Because in Genesis chapter 28, when we talk about the Jacob's ladder experience, all of the sages that I've studied, everybody believes that experience happened on Mount Moriah, which is modern-day Temple Mount, okay? But Bethel is actually 12 miles north of Jerusalem. And so there's different, we're not going to go into all the different studies of this, but one rabbi says that Jacob basically named three different places Bethel, all right? And that may be the harmonization of this. I haven't quite figured it out, so I can't tell you specifically which Bethel they're at, because it's a little confusing. But it is interesting that this description that Bethel is Luz keeps coming up. This word Luz, in chapter 28:19, it says he called the name of the place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. So we find out there's actually a city. And so some people say that the ancient name of Jerusalem was the city of Luz. Luz is the Hebrew word for almond. And you might remember that inside the temple was the menorah, and the menorah was designed, the seven-branched candlestick was designed to look like an almond tree. And the ancient tradition is that in Jerusalem there was this huge almond tree that was probably being fed by the underground rivers that run underneath Jerusalem, which is why it got so big. Again, that's just speculation. The other interesting thing about the word Luz is that it is the word that is used to describe the resurrection bone. How many of you ever heard of the resurrection bone? Yeah, this is, another thigh bone here, the resurrection bone is sort of a tradition in Judaism. It has to do with a bone that is in a part of your neck. And they say that this bone is indestructible, that you just can't get rid of it. And that it is from this bone that God will put everybody back together, that there will be the resurrection. Now, I don't know about that. It seems to me that you could probably destroy any bone in this body. But I do think there's an interesting connection to Bethel and this word Luz as being a place of resurrection. Because if the Bethel that we're reading about here is Jerusalem, then that is in fact where the resurrection begins. In the city of Jerusalem, when Jesus' feet touches the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. All I want to stress is that this is a place that is known for a tree and is also known for the resurrection.